Home foreclosures keep rising.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A long, painful recovery. That's how real estate data company RealtyTrack describes the state of the U.S. housing market. This morning, the company put out its mid-year report on home foreclosures. Marketplace's Janet Babin has seen that report, and she joins us live. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Bill.
What do these foreclosure numbers show?
Well, RealtyTrack says, according to its data, home foreclosures in the first half of this year increased in about three-quarters of the country's top 200 metropolitan areas. No surprise, Las Vegas had the nation's highest foreclosure rate again for 2 years running. Cape Coral, Fort Myers, Florida came in second, followed by Modesto, California coming in at third. Overall, the company blames high unemployment for the increase in foreclosures.
So, Janet, if I am not losing my home, how do these foreclosures affect me and the broader housing market?
Well, Bill, if you did need to sell your house, you're going to get a lot less money for it. Rick Shargo with RealtyTrack says there are more than a million properties in foreclosure, and that drives down home prices.
Until you can exhaust that supply of distressed properties, it's going to be very, very difficult for the housing market to see any real appreciation in terms of sales prices.
All righty. As a homeowner, I'm officially sad. Any good news, Janet?
Well, RealtyTrack does report that in metro areas with the top 10 highest foreclosure rates, nine of them showed year-over-year decreases in foreclosure since last year. So this could signal that foreclosure rates have peaked in the hardest-hit areas. But, and I'm going back to bad news here, Bill, RealtyTrack does say that the housing market won't fully recover until the end of 2013. So that's quite a long time from now.
Struggling to find some hope, Marketplace's Janet Babin. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Bill.
Today marks an important beginning in the giant legal battle over the BP oil disaster. A panel of federal judges in Boise, Idaho, will decide how to handle more than 250 lawsuits related to the incident, filed in 12 different states. We get more now from Marketplace's Chrissy Clark.
The judges will look at how to consolidate the cases, and just as important, where. Here's why geography matters. The lawsuits involve a complicated web of liability and billions of dollars. So plaintiffs and defendants want every edge they can get. That includes the sympathies and conveniences that might come with a friendly location. BP's lawyers want the court to be in Houston, aka Oil City. They say it makes sense because the company has headquarters there and it's an airline hub. But many of the people suing BP say New Orleans is a better site, closer to where the oil spill actually happened and the people it's affecting most. Georgine Vero, a professor at Loyola Law School, says the federal panel will weigh those factors, but will probably say,
I don't really care where you want to be. Here's where we're going to put you. And they have, over time, chosen neutral forums.
Wherever the cases wind up, the chosen city could get an added economic boost. It will host thousands of lawyers, witnesses, and members of the media for years to come. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Now we bring you the numbers. Asian shares were slightly higher today. This morning, Sony said it bounced back to profit last quarter, with demand up for its PlayStation 3 gaming consoles and personal computers and TVs. Also this morning, Nissan reported its strongest operating profit in more than 2 years. Stocks in Europe are 0.5% higher now. In New York yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost about 40 points, and the close was 10,497.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store.
The energy bill under debate in Congress now is less ambitious than what many Democrats once hoped for. One idea Democrats abandoned was putting a tax on carbon production. Marketplace's economics editor Chris Farrell says, tax or no tax, the price of carbon is headed up, especially the carbon contained in a barrel of oil. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bill.
Chris, oil is under $80 a barrel, which, you know, it's a lot less than what it was a couple years ago, right?
Oh, but Bill, think about it. What have we been talking about for the past several months? A slowing economy, not just here in the U.S., but in China and in Europe. And yet oil has been up for the past 3 months up to around the $77-$78 barrel level. And it was only back in 2003, you know, it breached $30 a barrel. So what that tells me is that the price of oil is going to go a lot higher.
How much higher, you think?
Well, I think it's very easy to say $100 a barrel. Now, that's what the Saudis say is the equilibrium price if the whole global economy is growing. But remember, Bill, it went up to $147 a barrel in 2008.
Right.
So if the global economy is growing and production has peaked, you know, the loss is supply and demand. You know what they tell you? A higher price. So $100 a barrel. We may look back on that and say, hey, that was low.
Well, as you said, we hit 140-something a couple years ago. How bad would $100 a barrel of oil be?
It would be bad because I think there is no doubt. Now, there are many factors that played into the Great Recession, the worst downturn since the 1930s. But it's very clear economists have looked at it, and one of those factors was the high price of oil. So our economy is very vulnerable to an increasing price of this precious commodity. And that's why we need to have alternative energy, or else it's the risk that it's going to be energy once again, oil once again, will help put this economy back in the soup.
What are the odds alternative energy is going to come along and save us from an oil shock?
Eventually, it will. My guess is the price of oil is going to go up. All of a sudden, we'll be scrambling with alternative energy. We'll dip down again into a recession or some sort of sluggish economic growth. But we'll finally climb out of it. I just wish that we would accelerate the process so we don't have to go through this boom and bust cycle again.
The uncharacteristically pessimistic economics editor of Marketplace, Chris Farrell. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Bill. And Bill?
Yeah?
I hope I'm wrong.
And, well, so do we. Finally, Goldman Sachs is now telling workers to stop using profanity in emails. A few months ago, a U.S. senator repeatedly read from an email where a Goldman executive profanely disparaged one of the company's mortgage security products. Marketplace has asked Goldman for a list of the newly banned phrases, and for some reason, the company's not responded by email. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.